listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicky.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 30th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Good evening everyone and early happy Halloween. The eve of Halloween. Great day.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this program, ICMH also has several other educational programs, such as metaphysicsinstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in many fields. As always, we'll start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And tonight's topic, what is your food for life?
Well, we have lots to talk about on that subject, Michael.
Well, I could find a lot to talk about, I think, on any subject.
True.
Some of it might even be interesting, but...
Well, you know, just before the program, Michael and I were saying, you know, what specifically in food for life, what's your food for life, doesn't necessarily mean like organic food. It's spiritual food, mental food, physical food, you know, emotional food. What's your food for life? Like, what is it that you feed off of and what do you require? And how do you discern what's good for you and not good for you? So I think that's the subject, really.
Oh, absolutely. And there, it's such a great metaphor because it goes across so many different aspects of our, well, it goes across all of our aspects of awareness and existence as human beings in this reality.
True enough.
And, you know, we were thinking about, you know, beforehand, all the different aspects, and do you kind of want to take them one broad topic at a time, or do you kind of want to just go back and forth amongst it?
Well, I think it's interesting. Wendy just wrote in the chat, music, food, cooking, nature, and Dr. Edwards saying food's one of his favorite subjects. You know, I think that's where we tend to go, right? What's your food for life? And we tend to right away think about what we like the most that feeds us to feel good.
That would be 3 pepper burrito with extra guacamole. Yeah,
exactly. Dr. Edmund would like that. I think, though, it's about, what do we require mentally? How are we feeding ourselves mentally? Are we interested in things? Do we read things that add to our existence, that broaden our knowledge base? You know, it's not just about, let's say, going to IMHS or any other school, it's about interest for life. Like, what's your interest in life? And then, like, what kind of associations do you have with people that help to feed you intellectually, mentally? emotionally, I think it's much the same way. Like, you know, as Wendy said, like, I mean, there's music and lots of things that make us feel good. But what are we doing about our connections in the world and relationships and the people that make us feel good about ourselves as well as we can make them feel good? I think all too often we all have to deal with a lot of situations with people we don't feel good, you know.
Yeah, well, and we have to navigate that because what would be a good metaphor along this line of thought? Well, no, you know, even though some people don't like broccoli, it's still good for you. But sometimes you have to do something because you have to do it, and it could be a temporary situation, but you have to deal with somebody that's just got a ton of negative energy. And there's nothing good about them. They didn't have to be that way for you to get what you needed to get out of it, meaning a job or, you know, dealing with somebody, going through the bureaucracy or traveling or any number of things. It's just people interacting with people. You can be decent or you can be not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but we really do want to think about who are we surrounding ourselves with. And I had to talk about this today about, you know, when you... your friends, your family, the people that bring love and light into your life, they, you know, they are worth your time, and they're worth it because we're human beings, and this is how human beings exist. We exist with each other. We coexist. And another reason why anybody that tries to put divisions up against that, tries to, you know, sow division instead of coexistence and peace, it goes against our nature.
Well, you see, that's discerning what's good food.
Yeah.
Right? That's good emotional food, like your family and the support, and where there isn't a dissension and an intent to dissension. Now, why do people like dissension? I think if we really want to get into that, we'll never find satisfactory answers. But what we can, I think, make peace with is some people aren't, again, their food for life is not good mentally, physically.
And, you know, we, again, in our talk, you know, prior to going live, we were talking, I jokingly asked, is there anybody we can hate? And Dr. Honeywood said wisely that it's, you know, almost that you pity them. And that's kind of the same thing. You look at these people who are living these really ultimately a negative existence for themselves and for everyone around them. And just what a waste. What a waste of a unique life of a once, you know, it's whatever comes before or whatever comes after, whatever came before. This is your life now. And to simply just waste it on negativity and just taking away from the world instead of adding to it is a tragedy.
Well, more to be pitied than censored is what I said. Now, that being said, I've recently had discussions with people about different situations, my one daughter in particular. And, you know, trying to understand people who are difficult, who continue to make up things, the best thing to do is walk away.
Yeah.
I recently had a situation myself, and although I said, please don't talk to me that way, it continued, and I just walked away. Because people who are not balanced and don't have good food for life, they feed on that. That's where I think the term vampires come in.
Yeah.
And they're sucking that energy. They need a fix. They need the dopamine. They need the rush, the adrenaline,
chaos.
Whatever that is. Exactly. And my food for life is not to have that. And I also don't want to feed anybody else that. And I think that's what's important when we look at it in a manner of food.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I know negative people exist. I know politics exists. I know I keep aware of what's going on in the world. I don't buy into it in the way that, yes, it hurts my soul when people are that way. But to go to that negative space of loathing and hate means there's vengeance inside me. And I made a decision a long time ago, as I said to you, Michael, to not be there.
Yeah.
You know, I am a Scorpio in this. There is the serpent side of Scorpio. And I made peace with that, you know, that nemesis inside myself, that I don't choose that. It doesn't feel good. It only hurts me because they aren't feeling it. They don't, you know, if anything, it feeds them.
Exactly. I mean, it's draining you. The situation is draining you. The situation is feeding them. They're winning, you're losing, and that's not a way that anything is supposed to exist.
Yeah, so it's, again, their food. You know, it's so, I prefer to be around, at least in my personal life. Like, my professional life is to deal with difficult situations that people have, and difficult people. And I have met with people who say, oh, I'm not good with that kind of stress, or, you know, crazy people. I said, oh, well, crazy people is my life. I don't know why I'm really good with that kind of thing, perhaps because of my childhood, and perhaps because there is a natural mediator in me, but I'm not afraid because I'm not afraid of myself. If anything, I walk away because I'm afraid for them and what I could do. So, you know, I'm careful with that. But it's that dealing with difficult people is just the nature of our work as spiritual counselors, and even in good people in difficult situations who are learning. So, you know, we have a toolbox, right? Mm-hmm. And anybody who wants to work on it, we have a toolbox. People who don't want to work on it, well, I have no food for them. I don't have tools. And I don't want to start giving them my tools, because that gives them, I'm feeding them more manipulations. So food goes both ways, is my point. So when we enter into it, we see this picture of how we're interacting with people from a food source way. It changes, I think, the picture. Just another way for us to look at it. That I'm not going to feed them what they want and give them more tools that feed them to manipulate other people, even though I think I'm capable of handling it. So it's a wisdom of knowing, ooh, I'm not going to give away any skills to these people that can show them how to be better manipulators.
Yeah.
So it's to walk away.
Yeah. So. And, yeah, it's about surrounding yourself with the people that matter to, and that are, that you're, vibe attracts. And this is leading to a couple of good quotes or good sayings in chat. Heather put up a great quote that she had heard one time, that your vibe attracts your tribe. I like that.
Yeah.
Dr. Angie had paraphrased a saying from a friend on Facebook that went something along the lines of, would you spend $1 million to get that $1 that somebody took from you? No. So why would you spend so much time on people who drain us? It's not worth the time it takes to hate.
Good one.
Yeah.
Excellent one. You know, but that's, again, the food. And physically, I think we all have a pretty good concept of what it is, the physical food. I don't always know what's good for my body, so I learned to have the scale teach me, because I don't know. I can think I know my body, but my body has a mind of its own. So to get a relationship with my body, I had to, because Dr. Angie also mentioned something about a weight loss thing, and about a friend of hers who said she can't control everything, but she controls what she puts in her mouth. I'm with you on that, but we don't always understand what the food for our body is. Mm-hmm. A lot of, nutritionists would say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I can't eat breakfast. If I eat breakfast, I just stimulate everything and I want to eat all day. My best thing is to be up several hours and then slowly eat food. I'm better with eating later in the day. That's just me. And so I had to find my own thing and never not worry about what those nutritionists say. I listened to my body and the different things that it's telling me, even though it's different from other people.
Well,
so it's a very personal kind of thing, I say.
Exactly. It's what's right for one is not right for everybody else.
Exactly. So you find whatever it is and what you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable in your body and that's the way your body works, then good. Then walk tall, be confident in that body that you have. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got issues, well, you're going to learn about those issues, and the body constantly changes. And that's the other thing. Oh, Dr. Audra says, I can't do breakfast early, hurts my stomach. I'm with you. But I have a daughter who has to eat first thing, or she, her stomach gets upset. So everybody, again, is different. Mm-hmm. I think also spiritual food is a really critical topic. And, you know, something I mentioned before the program, Michael, about we can have good intent spiritually, but it can be in conflict with us mentally and emotionally. What we think we believe in and what we feel is correct, like a lot of New Age tendency, is to send love and light. But that love and light is coming from someone who also has a lot of bigotry and a lot of prejudice, you see, and you know, issues. And there's good intent there, but the inner conflict, so you can feed yourself spiritually, but if you're not also feeding yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically, then there's going to be a discord. Mm-hmm. And it, so I think that's when I often catch people talking out of both sides of their mouth. So, you know, it's like you say one thing, do another, or say two points in the same sentence that contradict each other. And so we have to check in with that.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, it's about a lot of times you can have a cognitive dissonance between your spirituality, like you had mentioned, and what you emotionally feel is right in a lot of ways in terms of well, historically, it's been tolerance towards the, you know, LGBTQ community. And it's come about lately, I think, through human evolution. Again, you could point back to previous civilizations where it just wasn't a big deal. But ultimately, you have to listen to your heart and to really understand what's right. And you have to challenge a belief system that might be against that. You have to ask, well, why is it that they're pushing this particular line of thinking? Mm-hmm. You have to listen to what you feel is right. And, you know, what I was also going to say earlier is just like everybody's different in what they crave and what they want to eat, and both, you know, literally with food and also metaphorically when it comes to, you know, people and behaviors. I'm somebody, I like a good, you know, non-emotional argument. I like to argue. I like a good back and forth. I like a good debate. I like to be challenged. I like to challenge. I can get passionate without getting angry. And I like people that take opposing views from me. And not everybody's like that. I learned that mm-hmm. real fast. And but there are some people that are, and you can just hit it off, and you have a good back and forth. And it's about finding the people that vibe to that certain energy. And then also, kind of to what we're talking about, is just, avoiding that cognitive dissonance, making sure that across the spectrum of the mental, the physical, the emotional, and spiritual, are you being consistent? Are you really applying your principles across the board, like you were saying?
Well, and to be clear, cognitive dissonance is when it's like an act of denial for secondary gains, as Dr. Kelly would say. In other words, you're gaining one thing and there's a denial because you'll feel like you have to give something up when there's a truth right in front of you, something else. So it's that cognitive dissonance. It's something that we all need to check in with ourselves about. What is it that I'm refusing to give up when I know better?
Yeah.
You know? And that's okay. And again, I say that with without judgment. Oh, Audra says she likes a good discussion too. It helps her brain grow. I agree. But there's very few people, Michael, who can have a really good discussion, a debate, and not get emotional. Do you see?
Yeah.
Because everyone is feeling attached to what they believe in. I like a good discussion myself too, and very often when people go off on wherever land, like if they're very right wing, I tend to roll my eyes and decide when I've had enough, because then that's just, it gets ridiculous, because I want to know there's compassion when I have a discussion. I don't want it to be stupid. and I don't mean to be crass, but it's to have an existential conversation. Oh man, you want to talk about, you know, the universe and, you know, like, look, I'm in. I love that. But very few people can get past the emotion or sit in a neutral zone, if you will, to stimulate the mind and ask questions. I love asking questions.
Oh, very true. I mean, there, I have to say, curiosity is essential. And, well, not that people that aren't generally curious about the world and about life, not that there's really anything necessarily wrong with that, but it lacks a certain spark, doesn't it? You know, people are just hungry for knowledge, hungry for information, just curious about things around them. It doesn't have to be, you know, in any particular field. It could be anything, but a curiosity about things that are not you is important. It's important to understand our place in the universe, in the cosmos, and understand that, unlike what many people may still think, the, you know, world does not revolve around you. The sun does not revolve around the earth. The earth is not flat. And there's a lot more planets than just this one. But we all have our role. We all have our place. And just because the existence is so massive and unending does not mean it's insignificant, which is what some of these people fear.
Yes.
But that's going on a kind of a separate tangent. I will say that I've had, well, in my eyes, a talent for being able to discuss topics with people across the line, you know, be it philosophically, politically, whatever. And, well, one thing I've always believed is that, and I think many people do, that people are generally good. They want to do the right thing. They want to be good. A lot of people can make some rough rationalizations and justifications that, well, really don't make sense. But the bottom line is there is a lot of common ground in that. A lot of times we're trying to find the same thing, and there is some area that we can connect on. And if you can get to that connection, well, then you can crack open that, you know, barrier between sometimes them and reason. And sometimes you can't, and sometimes you just shouldn't try. And sometimes you can. It's just a judgment call, and you have to be intuitive about it. But
I think
all I have
also
to say about that.
I think that's great, Michael. It really insightful. I think what we are then also is looking at how we process, how each of us processes information and the world, and that to be really interested in. And it kind of triggered there too. Dr. Edward was saying, he said, some epic debates on forums like YouTube.
Yeah.
Good for you. And he says, I'm actually better at it through written word more so than verbally. Now, I would suggest then that you're somebody who likes to think before you speak, and writing allows you to do that. Verbally, it might be harder because people often talk fast. You know, things go so quickly. Mm-hmm. And if it would slow down where you can think and process before we speak, then it might be more comfortable. But in a world that's going so fast, well, but when we're writing, we can take that extra minute, we can backspace, delete, you know, well, and you can't do that when you're speaking so much.
And, well, I think that, stop me, but have we really talked about, you know, we've talked about what is the fruit of our life, you know, mentally and spiritually, and who are we allowing into our lives, what kind of philosophies and thoughts are we allowing into our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Have we talked about what we do in our lives that just bring us happiness? You know, Dr. Edward prefers to, you know, he likes getting in those written debates online, and that can be a real good fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's the thing. What is it in life that brings you joy, you know? And are you getting enough of it? Are you getting enough of those happy checks, you know, of that?
Good point.
Do those things in life that bring you happiness, whatever that is, as long as it does no harm and does right. Or at least does no harm, but in the sense that, you know, you got to go out and, you know, see the artists that you want to see the places you want to see, spend the time with the people you want to spend the time with, and you got to do it because time is a finite resource for this life and this existence, you know, no matter what comes after. And with our time, we're buying those experiences in life. We're consuming them. And so let's make smart decisions with that. I'm one to, you know, sit back and watch TV like the next, but you got to go out into the world and do something that's going to also bring you some kind of nourishment for your soul, just to, you know, break out of the, you know, norm every now and again. Go do something you've always wanted to do. And to those things that bring you happiness, like music and art, do them. Hold on to them. Expand on it. Don't stop doing it because it brings your soul, you know, it feeds it.
Well, I was just, who was it the very beginning when we started, you know, about cooking and nature and music? And so I'm looking back in the chat now. Your name escapes me for a minute. I am looking. I think that's really important.
Wendy.
Wendy, thank you, Michael. Sorry, Wendy. It's hard to keep track of the chat as well as talking. We're multitasking. Our brains are flitting. But to do those very things that bring you joy, and I know a lot of people don't have hobbies. I encourage hobbies. You know, that place that you can go to that is where you're pushing the pause button and you're nurturing yourself. I like to encourage people to do something where you can see a result. Like, I don't know, people crochet, if they do needlework, and that's for men and women, by the way. Anything that is a visual and productive that at the end of you can say, wow, I created that. You know, my eldest daughter the other day said that she was doing a painting and then she had some negative thoughts and screwed up, but she didn't care because she was happy that she got it out. You know, and I loved that. She said, I don't care if I didn't like it. It was the process. And that just, boy, I just about jumped for joy because that's what it is that to be able to see it then on the outside of yourself, something that came from within. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage people, if you're able to do that. However, it's still that a feel-good, quiet place that look, you're having a bad day, put on your favorite song. You know, even if it's something really simple like that, because it calms you, puts you in that, you know, just a moment of bliss or joy and balances everything out again. It's good. Great yeah. point, Michael. We can't forget that. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I think
we've covered a lot of topics.
We covered some ground, that's for sure, in a short amount of time. Anybody who would like a card pulled from our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery book, please put your name in there. That's great.
Absolutely.
I appreciate everybody having such great conversation in the chat. I think that's awesome. We have kind of a little family happening in here. People have become friends. And not just, you know, students or former students of IMHS and members of the church, but we have these people who are building bonds, and it's exciting.
Well, and that's what we're here to try and do, is build a community. I mean, it's not just
food.
About... Yeah,
the food source.
Exactly. It is. And it's a community for people to be there for each other, to be supportive of one another and to offer that nourishment to go along with the metaphor. And it's, you know, a community of curious, open-minded individuals that are willing to have great discussions.
Yeah, and you can all feel the energy support that goes with that. So speaking of support, how about we pick two cards for each in the chat who's asked for one. We've got quite a few names coming up already. Yeah. We pick the main and then the supporting energy to that, Michael. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Do you want to start with Dr. Edward?
I'm happy to. And Dr. Edward, the first card is number 24, Truth. And Dr. Hunter, would you like me to pull both and then read them? Or what do you think? Pull one, then read it, pull the other. I'm going to do that.
Sure, go ahead.
I'll do that. Just going to roll with it. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction. And the supporting card. Number 42, trust integrity.
Good support.
Let's tie together nicely. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself. That is an interesting pairing, isn't it?
It is. Powerful. Really powerful. Well, we have Heather next. Heather, the first card for you is wild card number 5, Don't Hate. Now, don't get excited about that. It's got a good message. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others. Now, I just want to say and qualify this, Heather. It doesn't mean you are like that. You could very well be dealing with somebody who's like that, just like we talked about earlier in the program. So the supporting energy to that is number 30, greatness to deliver, which I think is a really good match. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what's common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember your value. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. So the way I kind of put this together, Heather, is a reminder that, much like ourselves, when we're going through our days of dealing with difficult people, they're on a lower frequency. That's what that is. Don't feed it. And remember that each of us is born with some greatness to deliver. So rise above that negative and move through through your truth. So I hope that makes sense to you. Ronaldo is next, Michael.
All right. And actually, real quick, Dr. Turner, what was the first card that you had pulled? I'm sorry.
Don't Hate, number 5 in the wild card suit.
Gracias. And Ronaldo, I pulled number 32, Sympathy and Empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so. Great card. Well said. And the supporting to that is number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit.
Yep.
Which, our sympathy and our empathy is one of those great aspects of the human spirit. But the human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Good message.
Good message, and a good message that those in power and those that are powerful also need to be merciful and compassionate.
Yes, indeed. Audra, I have invoked the counselor within, number 19. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. Now, the supporting energy to that is number 9, turning my page, empowerment. It's number 9, empowerment, Michael. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you're whole, you're empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. Isn't that the truth? So, you know, invoke the counselor within and empowerment. You know, sometimes I say a simple thing of get back in our body. Because when you really integrate yourself right down to your root chakra, you're living from the inside out. That's powerful. You know, and that's, then your intuition awakens again. You start to see with the clarity. I really like that. It's exciting. So that's for you, Audra. Wendy is next, Michael.
And Wendy, I pulled number 2, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation. Not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. And let's see, the supporting card to that is... Number 35, one planet, one ancestry, one race, and one destiny. Mixed up the order there, but it's still the same.
Yes, yes, yes.
Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Wow, that's good stuff. It is. You know, and thank you for the feedback in the chat to some of the cards. Audra had said that she's... those cards that we drew for her was important for her because she's fighting with giving up power, trying to share it when it shouldn't be in the situation she's in at the time. Thanks for that, Audra. You know, we all face that sometimes on a daily basis these days. But thanks for the feedback, everyone. And, you know, thank you for sharing some news to Dr. Angie on a more somber note. One of our classmates at IMHS, students passed away, Patrick Mazur. As Dr. Angie said, he was a fellow student at IMHS and a pretty good long-distance friend of hers. And so she's, you know, just feeling it and sharing it, and that we all send, you know, some energy to the family. And, you know, this is unfortunately part of our life's condition, that all things are temporary. And I so believe that we are spirit to come in a body and we return to spirit. But it just sucks to say goodbye to people. I'm just being honest. It sucks, and there's always a grieving time and a moment that we take in remembering what an impact somebody had on our life and everybody's life, but most importantly to the friends and family of Patrick. And he's part of the IMHS family, and we'll give them all as much support as we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of love and support to his family. I'm so happy that you had caught that, because I had missed it in the chat, and I'm very happy we're taking the moment. Oh, Dr. Hunter, did I lose you?
No, I'm here, but I think I pressed my mute button. Oh, I hate it when I do that, Michael. I'm sorry. I have it in my hand so that, you know, you can't hear me breathing when you're talking. or if my cat jumps up on my lap and I scream because I got nails in my leg or something.
Well, that'll happen.
It will happen.
It happened to coincide when Skype happened to do something a little odd, too, so I thought I might have actually lost you.
Mm. No, but anyway, thank you, everybody, for being here and being a part of the IMHS and the church family, and we appreciate all of you. My life has changed in the last 8.5 years, radically, being a part of this community, and thanks to Dr. Kelly and Tracy Kelly, of course, and you, Michael, and how we all feel a connection, because we're all of, you know, one planet, aren't we? And we found a connection. And when we have to say goodbye to one of our own, it's a sad moment. Now, that said, we are into Halloween, which, you know, anciently, it's, if there is such a word, it's the harvest time. It's the end of harvest, where we begin to prepare for the winter months coming, and we're in that moment where I love Halloween, I do, and of course a pantheist belief is that that's when the veil is thinning between the worlds and the spirits can communicate with us easier, and of course I think people have taken that commercially to an nth degree, but my favorite thing to do, I do it every year now, dress up like a really horrible witch, as radically as I can. I even got a new hat this year. I sit on my grandkids' porch, and I give out candies. But they're on to me. Now all their little friends come and say, whisper to the other people, oh, don't worry, it's just Amaya's grandma. It's nothing to be afraid of. And then, of course, I do my, ha, 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 come on up. You know, and it's very fun. I love it. We make it fun, but I deeply know in my spirit and in my heart that it's a very important time of the year, and I love it. So happy Halloween to everyone.
Oh yes.
Those in transition, those who need energy today and for the days to come, going through transition, and you know, that's nothing more I can say to that, but thank you to everybody.
Yes, and thank you to everybody. I hope everybody has a safe and a happy Halloween. It is a great time of year, you know. It's cool, but in most places not yet too cold, and we're just getting that kind of excitement in the air. And again, I'm so happy to see everybody here, and we're building this community, being a part of it. And when we learn one of our community has passed, we all think and our thoughts and energies with that person and that family.
Yes.
And so, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.